Hi, I'm Michelle Kittleson, Director of Education in Heart Failure and Transplantation, Director of Heart Failure Research, and Professor of Medicine at the Smith Heart Institute at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, California. This podcast is part of an educational grant from MyoKardia on raising awareness and understanding of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and is available on acc.org through the CardiaCast podcast series. This podcast complements two expert analyses available on acc.org on diagnosis and treatment of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, what every cardiologist needs to know. So here we go. Here are my high-yield tips on hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Tip one, the differential diagnosis. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is the most common inherited monogenic cardiac disorder and inherited in an autosomal dominant manner. Why is this important? Because if you painstakingly go through a three-generation family history and discover a different inheritance pattern of cardiomyopathy or sudden death, you may be dealing with a different condition which may alter management. So what other conditions could masquerade as hypertrophic cardiomyopathy? Well, the diagnosis of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy requires the presence of a left ventricular wall thickness of 15 millimeters or greater, unexplained by abnormal loading conditions like hypertension or valvular disease or infiltrative cardiomyopathies, the so-called genetically mediated phenocopies. Differential diagnosis is one of a clinician's most important skills, so let's spend some time on this tip. For example, how do you tell the difference between hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and hypertensive heart disease? Think hypertensive heart disease if the patient has a history of hypertension and if the left ventricular hypertrophy regresses with control of blood pressure. Think hypertrophic cardiomyopathy if there's a family history of HCM, right ventricular hypertrophy as well as left ventricular hypertrophy on echocardiogram, severe left ventricular hypertrophy, left ventricular outflow tract obstruction, or abnormal late gadolinium enhancement on cardiac MRI. So how do you tell the difference between hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and athlete's heart? Think athlete's heart if the left ventricular cavity is enlarged, the left ventricular hypertrophy regresses with deconditioning, and there is evidence of clear outstanding conditioning with a maximal oxygen consumption above 45 mL per kg per minute on cardiopulmonary exercise stress testing, or the maximal oxygen consumption is over 110% predicted. Think hypertrophic cardiomyopathy if there's a small left ventricular cavity, left atrial enlargement, abnormal diastolic filling patterns on echocardiogram, an abnormal electrocardiogram, or family history of HCM. Okay, what about those genetically mediated phenocopies? Yes, those are the ones you memorized and promptly forgot about in medical school. Fabry, Danon, Pompe, Friedreich's ataxia, and of course, amyloidosis. Clues that something more than garden variety hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is at foot? The pattern of inheritance and multi-organ involvement are your clues. If there's also evidence of neurologic issues, musculoskeletal impairment, renal involvement, think about a genetically mediated phenocopy. Now, the highest yield infiltrative cardiomyopathy to know about is cardiac amyloidosis, and making the diagnosis will alter management. So let's spend a few minutes on cardiac amyloidosis on the differential. How do you tell the difference between hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and cardiac amyloidosis? Remember that there are two major forms of cardiac amyloidosis: extracellular tissue deposition of protein fibrils into the myocardium can be caused by either light chains in AL amyloidosis, a form of a plasma cell dyscrasia, or transthyretin in ATTR cardiac amyloidosis, either due to a pathologic variant in the transthyretin gene inherited in an autosomal dominant fashion or wild-type transthyretin protein. So think about transthyretin cardiac amyloidosis, ATTR-CM, in middle-aged patients with heart failure symptoms and increased wall thickness, and those with carpal tunnel, lumbar spinal stenosis, biceps tendon rupture, or autonomic or sensory polyneuropathy. Think about AL cardiac amyloidosis in patients with heart failure symptoms and increased wall thickness who may also have periorbital purpura, macroglossia, submandibular lymphadenopathy, significant weight loss, and renal failure with nephrotic syndrome. So I'm going to spare you an exhaustive discussion of the other rarer phenocopies, but remember, if the inheritance is not autosomal dominant, if there appears to be involvement of skin, nervous system, kidneys, look beyond hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Tip 2. My patient with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy fainted. Now what? Well, patients with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy can have syncope caused by left ventricular outflow tract obstruction or biventricular arrhythmias. If it's left ventricular outflow tract obstruction, increase hydration and direct therapy towards reducing the obstruction, whether by medical or invasive means. More on this in a minute. If it's ventricular arrhythmias, defibrillator is warranted. So how do you tell the difference? Consider these two patients. Patient A faints on his way to the bathroom after his third bout of diarrhea in 3 hours after eating leftover pot roast. He has hypertrophic cardiomyopathy with a heretofore asymptomatic left ventricular outflow tract gradient of 40 millimeters mercury and takes no medications. Patient B faints while playing tennis. He has a family history of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. His cousin died suddenly at the age of 30, and his echo shows a left ventricular septum of 2.5 centimeters with no left ventricular outflow tract obstruction. So which type of syncope worries you more? I hope you said patient B. Consider features that favor left ventricular outflow tract as the cause of syncope. There is a left ventricular outflow tract gradient at rest or with provocative measures such as Valsalva or exercise. The history is consistent with left ventricular outflow tract induced syncope with a history of hypovolemia, prescription of vasodilators, an orthostatic prodrome. On the other hand, consider features that favor ventricular arrhythmias as the cause of syncope. The symptoms may be related to exertion. The patients may have high-risk features such as a family history of sudden cardiac death, massive left ventricular hypertrophy, history of ventricular arrhythmias on monitoring. Okay, let's talk about tip 3. My patient has atrial fibrillation. How do I manage this? So let's say you have a 40-year-old man with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy who's asymptomatic with a left ventricular outflow tract gradient of 50 millimeters mercury at rest. He presents with palpitations and is diagnosed with paroxysmal atrial fibrillation. He is placed on metoprolol succinate 25 milligrams daily. His CHADS2 VASC score is 0. Do you start anticoagulation for thromboembolic prophylaxis of atrial fibrillation? The answer is yes. Remember, the stroke risk in hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is independent of the CHADS2 VASC score. A significant number of strokes are observed in patients with a score of 0. Thus, in patients with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and atrial fibrillation, anticoagulation is recommended with a direct oral anticoagulant as a first-line option, vitamin K antagonist, also known as warfarin, as your second-line option, regardless of the CHADS2 VASC score. Tip 4. How do you manage the patient who has dyspnea and a left ventricular outflow tract gradient? Consider a 45-year-old man who presents with dyspnea on exertion and a left ventricular outflow tract gradient of 60 millimeters mercury at rest. You start him on metoprolol succinate 25 milligrams daily and titrate to 100 milligrams daily over the next 3 months. At that point, he has no more dyspnea on exertion. His heart rate is 60 beats per minute. Do you repeat an echocardiogram to reassess the left ventricular outflow tract gradient? No. Remember, titration of medical therapy for symptomatic left ventricular outflow tract obstruction is based on symptoms, not the gradient on resting echocardiogram. Because the outflow tract obstruction is highly variable throughout daily life, it's important to understand that the success of a given medication is determined by the patient's symptom response, not the measured gradient. And let's close out with tip 5. How do you figure out who needs a heart transplant if they have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy? Let's consider 3 patients with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, all of whom have New York Heart Association functional class 3 symptoms. Patient A, 35 years old, EF 45%, on treatment with sacubitril, valsartan, metoprolol, succinate, and spironolactone, titrated to maximally tolerated doses based on blood pressure, but still limited by shortness of breath in her activities of daily living with frequent episodes of decompensated heart failure. Consider patient B, a 60-year-old man who has a left ventricular outflow tract gradient of 74 millimeters mercury at rest with significant dyspnea on exertion despite metoprolol succinate 200 milligrams daily and disopyramide. Now consider patient C, 55 years old, EF 65%, 2 heart failure hospitalizations in the past 6 months. No left ventricular outflow tract gradient, takes bumetanide 4 milligrams twice daily, metolazone 5 milligrams twice weekly, can't get dressed without shortness of breath, and creatinine 2.5 mg per deciliter. So all of these 3 patients have significant shortness of breath with their activities of daily living. But do all 3 need heart transplant evaluations? No. Patient A has a reduced ejection fraction, and patient C has a restrictive cardiomyopathy. Both are sick enough to warrant transplant consideration because they have exhausted all medical options and there are no additional invasive options that can help. But patient B has a left ventricular outflow tract obstruction refractory to medical therapy and thus should be considered for septal reduction therapy before considering transplant evaluation. Heart failure symptoms plus left ventricular outflow tract obstruction is never an indication for heart transplantation. Address the obstruction first. And that's all for today. I hope you've gained some useful tips on the diagnosis and management of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. This podcast is part of an educational grant from MyoKardia on raising awareness and understanding of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. With promising new directed therapies on the horizon, an understanding of this disease is essential. You can find our expert analyses at acc.org and find me on Twitter at mkittelsonmd. Thanks for listening.